there's this lovely passage that I adore from 1 Samuel. And you're probably acquainted with the phrasing that is, it just says, people judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I think that. So once upon a time in my youth ministry days, I was invited by a lifelong friend to speak to his youth group. We got this clever idea. And we were going to be talking about that kind of hunger and passion that looks at the heart, that doesn't judge by exterior. No, any adolescent is going to need that kind of message, right? And so we talked about content, but as we refined this, here's how the weekend started out for the children. They climbed in this huge bus and they drove from Damascus, Oregon to Newburgh, Oregon. And that's where they stopped for, well, a snack break at a convenience store. And that's where I joined the group. Nobody but the youth minister knew me. And I had been in preparation all week long by not showering, not shaving, not grooming in any way. As a matter of fact, the kids didn't even know my name. And so when they were getting all this lovely junk food, I'm just there visiting. I'm just hanging around and talking to them. I'm just being this guy named Kevin. And I determined early on, okay, I'm not going to lie about anything. I'm just going to make the truth large. So, when they said, we're a youth group, I said, you're Christians? I am a Christian. I love Jesus. And I was just big about everything. When there was a group of girls that were especially kind and helpful, when they said, do you want a candy bar? I said, oh, I would love a candy bar. I don't like those kinds, but I love those kinds. And so I took a Snicker bar, and they shared with me, and they were gracious and kind. And then I found out that they were going to Yamhill, Oregon. I said, I told you I love Jesus, but this is going to blow you away. I'm trying to get a ride to Yamhill, Oregon. And these teenagers are looking at each other. Let's go ask the youth minister if we can give him a ride. And the youth minister, my good friend, says, no, that is not a good idea. Please, please. And so they gave me a ride. I said, I would just like to, you know, hear your stories and tell me about what you like about Jesus. And so they're telling me, and they are being so gracious and so kind. And then they started worshiping. I said, guys, I love to sing. And it was even more special because I didn't know any of the songs that they were singing. I'm being honest, I didn't know their songs. And so I sang with them as best as I could and as loud as I could. I always got the Jesus and the Hallelujah parts in there because that's easy to get in there. And we sang together out there, and it was just delightful. And as we got close to the camp where they were going to have their retreat, I said, this is where I need to be let off. And I got out a driveway or two ahead of them, and I was thankful and grateful. And as I'm getting off the bus, me and the youth minister make eye contact, and we're going, this is so awesome. So they get into the camp, and they put their stuff away, and then they're meeting in the big meeting room, and it's time to start. And the youth minister, he begins introducing a speaker who's going to be sharing with them about God looking at the heart. And about that time, some of the kids started elbowing each other because that homeless guy is peeking through the door over there. And I'm looking at him and waving awkwardly. And as the youth minister gets to the introduction, he introduces Kevin Woods. And I step into the door, and jaws drop, and I start peeling off my stocking cap and put on a fresh shirt over the nasty t-shirt that I'd been wearing and began to speak the truth. And it was a lovely experience, an amazing weekend. And you would think, ooh, that's so dangerous because things could have really backfired. Oh, they did. They did, because those girls who were being so gracious and so generous and so kind felt so duped and were so embarrassed, and it was awkward. So I had to mend some fences, and we had to do some serious talking. We prayed together, and it really was good, and it really did, especially in their woundedness. It was valuable for us to unpack that. But the reality was, they were judging by outward appearance and smells. And we spent an entire weekend springboarding from that moment when they assessed things outwardly and started talking about inward heart things. Tonight, I want to ask you to sort of be that group of duped people. That is, imagine if you were in their spot and how awkward and weird that would have been. How embarrassing it would have been to be betrayed. Because they were trying to figure out exactly what was going on. And I just hope tonight we can sort of create a community here that is centered around the heart of God stuff. That outward appearance, oh my goodness. We are living in a moment where outward appearance is happening constantly. That is, we are now a nation that is obsessed with judging others and figuring out what's going on under the surface. Or maybe not even figuring things out what's going on underneath, but making some assumptions. And so I'm looking at you and realize, oh, you're looking at me with the same questioning eyeballs. With that sense of, wait, I'm not sure if I know what your motives are. Judging has become a national obsession. And so this teaching series has been about Jesus asking the question, now what? What do you think is next? We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And in chapter 7, he begins with these words. Don't judge others. Don't judge others, and you won't be judged. For you'll be treated as you treat others. The standard you used in judging is the standard that will be used against you to be judged. And why do you worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, "Here, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. That's hypocrisy. First, get rid of the log that's in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Do you like being judged? Okay, that's good. Let's start there. That's a great place to start, because if you don't like being judged, good, then don't. Jesus says, then don't judge other people. He says, because that's going to become the measurement that will be used against you. Oh, and it will. Do you want to be judged harshly? Quickly? Instantly? Without somebody knowing you well enough to judge you? Then you make sure that you're not assessing those around you quickly, instantly, without knowing their story. In Brenda's words about communion, she talked about that reality that when we were living out of fear and anger, when the rage is evident all around us, when the rage is evident in me, it's sort of helpful to realize that bravado, that all of that noise, inevitably it comes out of insecurity. Me not liking you is more likely to be about me not liking me. So before we go any farther, could I just share with you four tendencies that are sort of true about judgy people? I'm sure this will be helpful. I think if you understand those judgy people, that you'll be able to carry on tomorrow much, much better equipped. Judgy people they're punishers. Somebody that's quick to point fingers, to find fault. Judges will beat you up and punish you for your thoughts and preferences. Judges will be superior. And there is a sense of condescension that my point of view gets more weight than yours. And they tend to live above the rules. Oh no, the rules are to apply to everybody else. But since I'm right, I sort of have exemption. Judges are excusers. They excuse themselves. It's not my fault. It's never my fault. And the hurts and the wounds are exterior, and they come my way. And finally, judges are victims. They'll spend their lives noticing how everybody else is coming at them. As I just shared those things that are true, by the way, those four things, I sort of boiled it down from quite a bit of research about judging, about the psychological reality of judging. But as I shared those four things, did you think of people? Are there people in your word that you're going, "Oh yeah, check, check, check. Oh yeah, that's her. That's him. Oh, that's my neighbor. That's my boss. That's my husband. Sorry. I gotta confess something. That thing that I did with the youth group way back then, it was wonderful and it was good, and I will never do it again. Oh, that was too expensive. In the end, to be able to intellectually say, oh, I didn't deceive you. I didn't tell you anything. I was truthful about everything. When I have to explain my truthfulness as opposed to my truthfulness being evident, it was just a bad idea. But I sort of just did the same thing, because talking about judging, it's really so close to the surface that I don't have to say very much before. I suspect one of two things was happening in your minds as I was sharing just those four boiled down simple truths about people who judge. I bet you were either going, yep, 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 yep. I can think of the people. I know who you're talking about. I'm so surrounded. That describes him to a T. That's my boss. Or you are backing up a little bit and saying, where is he going? I just don't think this is healthy. I don't think this makes the situation better in America or in Clark County. And I wish he would just get on with... Sorry, but now let me explain to you. Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount what it means to be a Jesus follower, what life in the kingdom is about. And he's talking about heart issues and how if you give your heart to him, there's certain things that might have been true and might feel true, but we're doing things by different rules. We're turning all those truths upside down. And I'm asking you to live at a place of honesty and sincerity. And all of a sudden, Jesus turns things over on us. Because all of a sudden, instead of talking about heart issues, he starts being harsh himself. He moves from heart to harsh really quick. Chapter 7, verse 1, don't judge. Chapter 7, verse 2, the way you treat other people, that's how you're going to be treated. 7:3, stop worrying about others. Chapter 7, verse 5, he calls this group of people assembled at his feet hypocrites. That's a great word, actually. It's a word that simply means play acting. It's a theatrical term. He's saying, if you're a hypocrite, that means you're pretending to be something you're not. Why does Jesus say it so negative? What does it say when Jesus comes across that harshly? Let me throw you two hard thoughts. When Jesus gets that direct, I think one of two things is going on there, or both. First, I need to realize, wait, this is maybe more serious than I thought. And secondly, wait, if he says don't do this, that means it's controllable. Those two thoughts are a little bit undoing, because when I'm being harsh with my neighbor, when I'm being harsh with my boss, when I'm being harsh with my spouse, and I'm judging, I'm making decisions about their motivations and their intent. When I'm judging the president or judging the rioters in downtown Portland who are assembling this evening, when he says, don't do that, maybe I need to pause and go, maybe even though it's a national pastime, I shouldn't engage in that. Maybe if Jesus says, stop doing that, that's enough. And I need to go, okay, just because everybody is, just because it's acceptable, doesn't mean that I have to buy in. And the other thing is, if Jesus says, stop doing that, that means I can't really say, well, it's just who I am. I can't dismiss it and say, well, you know, I judge because that's how I was brought up. I'm just telling the truth. I was in the youth group when I was a teenager with a girl who would say the most awful, harsh things. When the eyebrows would go up, she would say, in a meek little gentle voice, "I was just telling the truth." We got to where we didn't want to hear the truth from her. It was just so harsh. "I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. Don't be honest with me anymore." So, if it's a behavior that Jesus says, "Don't do that, that's enough." If Jesus is saying to us, "Don't make me pull this car over. Don't make me stop this." If he's being that abrupt, I want for us to think about the why question. What motivates me? How did I get here? How did I land here? If you're in an airplane at 30,000 feet and the oxygen mask drops in front of you, do you remember those instructions? First, you put the oxygen mask on yourself. And then you put it on the face of your child that's with you, or grandchild. It seems wrong, doesn't it? It seems odd. But the truth is, if you are going to be the one that saves lives of the children around you, it will be because you thought first, "I'm taking care of me, so that I'm available to take care of them." Self-correction is what qualifies you to help other people. Taking care of, for example, a log that might be sticking in your eye. Isn't that an absurd thing for Jesus to say? You think he really wanted to go pretty extreme here when he says, Don't worry about a speck in somebody else's eye until you've put the oxygen mask over your face, until you've done the self-work, until you've removed those things that might qualify you as a hypocrite. Humility becomes the prime motivator. If you are saying, "Wait, am I qualified to speak truth into the heart and the life of this friend of mine? Before I can talk to him, I've got to do some serious log removal in my own life because I'm not qualified." What qualifies me to speak of specs is a humility that says, "I'm going to take care of my needs right away so that I'm available to take care of you." I just think these are weird times. I'm so tired of these weird times. But here's the reality. In a world that right now is absolutely obsessed with judging, where, if we can't play sports, we have this other sport, and it has to do with assessing the people around us and coming up with some answers. There's some homework that we need to do, some logging that needs to happen. We live in a world where we are policing each other, where we are criticizing, we are pointing fingers, we are correcting, but not you and not us. If you have been listening to this series of messages about kingdom life, if you're serious about being a Jesus follower, but tonight's the first night you've heard any of this, then I would encourage you to go online, to go to renovatus.com and look at past messages, because in this journey, we've been following Jesus, and he's been saying, "The rules are different. The rules have changed. In order to live like this, in order to live for me, it needs to look like this." And he just keeps changing the rules. And he's had us going, "Okay, Okay, all right, okay, I'm in. If you're in, if you're following Jesus with passion from your heart, tonight we're getting to a hard place. Because we live in a time when it's okay to be judgmental. And it's okay and acceptable to say words that are strong and harsh because they're the truth. And it's okay. But not for me. And I'm telling you that I will speak words of peace and grace and mercy and acceptance and kindness because I live in the kingdom. And I'm challenging you to follow me, to have the courage to trust that Jesus really does know what you need and what's going on and what it means to follow him with boldness. So, at the Renovatus Church of Christ, we're going to close now with our opening prayer. We're now going to pause in prayer, but this is not to wrap things up. This is to get things started. And you will have some opportunities tomorrow where something's going to happen right in front of you, and you're going to be quick to assess the situation and know exactly what needs to happen. Unless you're a kingdom person. Here we go. Holy Father, we really do want to follow you. Jesus, we want to be a part of your kingdom. We believe that what you are outlining in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 impacts us dramatically. So God, tomorrow, as we encounter moments when we will be tempted, would you remind us that all of a sudden Jesus says, stop. It is within your power to control your words and your thoughts, and you may not judge. If you want to do something, start taking some planks out of your world and your life that don't fit in with a kingdom lifestyle. God, give us the courage tomorrow to live boldly and courageously and openly before you. We pray by the name of Jesus, who is our King. Amen.